we've been talking about the Lord's Supper, and we've seen how Jesus instituted or created the Lord's Supper using the elements that were available to him at the Passover, the last Passover that he ate with his disciples. Apparently, when we read the four Gospels, we don't have a complete history or a complete transcript of everything that Jesus said when he began the supper. We know a lot of what he said, but apparently he said some other things as well. And the way that I know that is because when I read 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, the Apostle Paul gives us some additional information about the supper, and he said that this is something that Jesus said when he instituted it. So it's important for us to look at what Paul said and just kind of remember, like, it's not an unusual idea that not everything Jesus said was written down. Remember, John did say in the last few verses of his book that if I had written all of the things that Jesus did and taught, it would fill many books. But what I have written is sufficient to cause you to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So that was his goal. He wasn't creating a transcript. So when we look at 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and we read what Paul said, it's not a contradiction between what Paul says that Jesus said and what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John say that Jesus said. It's just Paul is giving us some extra information. It's 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, starting at verse 23. Paul says, I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it or break it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And we know that the Apostle Paul was dealing with abuses that had come into the assembly there in Corinth, and he had to correct some of this. So he goes back to the very beginning. And when Paul talks to the Corinthians about this, he says, when you come together to take the Lord's Supper, that's not what you're doing. You've lost sight of what Jesus created. So when he talks about it, he goes back to what Jesus talked about when he gave them the supper. Now, when you read what Paul wrote, you see the introduction of a new idea. We've already talked about how it's in remembrance of Jesus, in the same way that Passover lamb was a remembrance of God passing over the children of Israel to lead them out of Egyptian bondage. We've already seen Jesus saying, this is remembrance of me. It's the same elements. He used unleavened bread, and he used the fruit of the vine that were a part of that Passover Seder that we've already talked about. But he says now, this is to remember me. It's not to remember that you were in bondage in Egypt. It's not to remember that God passed over the houses of Israel in the bringing about of the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn. That's not what this is about. Same elements, different thing to remember. So now, beyond thinking about this being a remembrance of Jesus, we also have to think about how often we do it. It has become almost universal that in the Restoration Movement, we've talked about the history of that movement before, that in those churches that are associated with the Restoration Movement, the Lord's Supper is celebrated every first day of the week. Every Sunday, the Lord's Supper is celebrated. That's not the case in a lot of other religious groups. You remember how when they first began to bring together different people who were trying to restore New Testament Christianity, James O'Kelly only celebrated the Lord's Supper once a year. And when he started to join with the Campbells and they began to discuss this, there was a lot of discussion about how often we were supposed to take the Lord's Supper. We ought to do it because of biblical information. It shouldn't be something that we do just because we want to do it that way. It needs to be based on biblical information. However, in the case of the Lord's Supper, the best that we can find in terms of a commandment from God or a commandment that was given by the apostles through the inspiration of the Spirit is as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Now that means that in order to figure out how often we ought to do it, we're going to have to reason about biblical information. And we're going to have to look at how other people have understood this. And there's a lot of value in looking at the way that the early Christians did it during the time that the apostles were with them, and trying to find out, if we can, what it is that we ought to be doing and how often we ought to do it. It's a question that we have to answer for ourselves. It's not good enough for me to say, when somebody asks me, why do you take it every Sunday? It's not enough of an answer to say, that's what the elders said we were going to do. I have to be fully persuaded in my own mind. And if I'm not, then I'm doing it outside of faith. Now, there's nothing wrong with listening to elders. There's nothing wrong with listening to people that have more knowledge than we do. There's nothing wrong about giving a certain amount of deference to people who have studied longer than we have. But that's not the reason that we do the things that we do, because somebody else said that that's the way it ought to be done. We have to come to a conclusion ourselves. And this is going to introduce an opportunity into the church for people to reach different conclusions. So I'd like to spend some time talking about the frequency with which the earliest Christians celebrated the supper. And there are, in my mind, two really important passages that we need to talk about. The first is the end of the second chapter of the book of Acts. And the second is the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. And we'll take a little time to talk about those this evening. So let's look at Acts 2, and we're going to start in verse 42, and we're going to read down through verse 46. Can I get somebody to read that?
They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, everyone feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place throughout the apostles, through the apostles, and all those who had believed were together and all had all things in common. 42 through 44?
Through 46.
Oh, 46. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart.
Thank you, Anne. So in this passage, it appears, at least to me, it makes sense to me, that there are two descriptions of what they were, or there is a description of what they were doing that uses the same terminology to refer to two different things. I didn't say that very clearly. Let me try again. The early Christians are described as breaking bread. They're described as doing that in verse 42, and then they're also described as doing that in verse 46. But I think in my reasoning that there's a difference between the breaking bread that they were doing in verse 42 and the breaking bread that they were doing in verse 46. It's that there's no way to say that there's a difference based on the language that's used. In verse 42, you can see on the screen, the breaking, meaning to fracture, of bread. I don't think that the point is that they went around breaking bread. They broke bread so that they could eat it. They broke a loaf or food, a piece of bread or a loaf. I think that's referring to the Lord's Supper. I see that breaking bread in many ways becomes not a euphemism, but it becomes another way of saying that they were celebrating the Lord's Supper. They were breaking bread. Now, it doesn't mention the fact that they took the fruit of the vine, but breaking bread seems to be a way that later writers refer to the Lord's Supper. And we'll see that as we continue in our discussion here. But this is, in verse 42, this seems to be, at least in my mind, a regularly repeated practice. They were devoting themselves, or continued steadfastly, if you're reading the King James, to the apostles' doctrine. I think that's what the apostles were teaching. to fellowship, regularly enjoying fellowship, participating together in doing certain things. And he goes on and he describes what some of those things are. They regularly broke bread and they regularly prayed together. So this is in my mind, in verse 42, they were continuing steadfastly or devoting themselves to a regularly repeated practice. Doesn't tell us how often they did those things in verse 42. But it's a characteristic of them that they did those things. Verse 46. Same term, breaking bread. And as I say, it has in some cases become synonymous with the Lord's Supper, but not always. This is a way that you could describe eating a meal. And we do that today. We talk about breaking fast, breakfast. And we talk about how we break bread together when we're just eating a common meal. Sometimes we have special meals that we eat together, like on birthdays or sometimes on Thanksgiving. But we could, whether we did it daily or once a year, doesn't make any difference. We're still continuing to give ourselves to this practice. Now, if you continue to look at this, verse 42 says they devoted themselves to persist or persevere, continue in. So they continued in the practice of the apostles' doctrine, the Lord's Supper, fellowship, sharing, and in prayer. Verse 46, I think, adds a different element to this. And it makes me think that what he's talking about in verse 46, when he talks about breaking bread, is simply eating meals together. Verse 46, they continued to meet. It's the same word as devoted themselves in verse 46 or verse 42. That doesn't help us. That doesn't differentiate between them. However, in verse 46, he adds this idea of daily. This word daily is not in verse 42. Verse 42 is just a description of the things that characterize their regular practice. Verse 46, he talks about them doing this daily. The question is, in my mind, was this daily celebrating the Lord's Supper, or was it daily eating meals many times together? My conclusion is that this was daily eating meals many times together, because it says they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And you'll notice that now they're eating their meat. They're not breaking bread. Eating meat would seem to differentiate it from the idea of the Lord's Supper being represented by breaking bread. Breaking bread could also represent eating a meal, but when you talk about it as eating meat, it seems to be something different. Does that make sense to anyone? Anybody have a comment about what my reasoning is?
Yeah, it sounds like they're making sub sandwiches in verse 46.
Yeah.
Well, they were eating their meat together, eating their meals together. And that makes sense because we've already seen that what they did was they sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. And they wanted to make sure that people who had come from long distances were still able to eat their meat. So they eat their meals. So they ate their meals together. And they probably did it on a daily basis.
Verse 46 says, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart.
Right. Now, they were, verse 46 also includes the concept that they were continuing daily with one accord in the temple. So it wasn't just something that's described as happening in from house to house. They apparently went to a common place, a public place in the temple precincts. I don't think that they were entering the temple proper, but the temple began to stand for a much, much bigger area than just the temple proper. There was Temple Mount. So they probably gathered in a place in Solomon's porch or someplace like that. And they did that daily.
I know I always go ahead and I think you'll get there, but in another scripture, Paul waited till the first day of the week. But you're not there yet, so again, I go ahead.
Yeah, we'll get to Acts 20.
Yeah, but I think you're right, because they had to feed the people who didn't have any food to eat, and daily makes great sense, because everybody has to eat every day. So you're making sense.
Okay, thank you. So you have, what I want everybody to see is, when it says that they broke bread, I don't know whether that's the Lord's Supper or it's eating a meal. The words don't differentiate between the two. Perhaps when you add the concept of eating meat, then you've differentiated, but breaking bread sometimes refers to just eating a meal. Sometimes it's the Lord's Supper. And I think it's an instance of metonymy where a part is put for the whole. It doesn't say that they drank the fruit of the vine. It says that they broke bread. But I think metonymy, it's a classic figure of speech, would argue that you put the part for the whole. And there are groups who celebrate the Lord's Supper not by eating bread and drinking the fruit of the vine, but simply by eating bread. Again, that's going to get down to reasoning. And they do it in part because of this passage in Acts, the second chapter. Now, we still don't know exactly how often they took the Lord's Supper. I think I can say that it wasn't a daily occurrence, but I still don't know how often they did it. I know that they did it regularly, but that at the end of Acts 2, all that I know is that they did it regularly. I don't know much more about it than that. Remember, James O'Kelly would have argued regularly meant once a year. After all, it was associated with the Passover, which was a yearly feast. They celebrated the Passover regularly. So the concept of regularly doesn't rule out doing it once a year. It doesn't rule in doing it every Sunday. It just, their practice was regular. Justin Martyr wrote to Antonius Plus. It's called his apology. And that just means it's a defense. When we say apology sometimes today, we think it means I'm sorry. But an apology back then meant a defense. He's describing church assemblies in his day. Now, Justin Martyr is not an inspired writer. I only bring it up because it helps us to get some other information that may shed some light on what regularly meant in Acts 2 at verse 42. So this is what Justin Martyr says. On the day which is called Sunday, all Christians who dwell either in who dwell either in town or country come together to one place. The memoirs of the apostles and the writings of the prophets are read for a certain time. Then the president of the meeting, when the reader has stopped, makes a discourse in which he instructs and exhorts the people to the imitation of the good deeds of which they've just heard. We then all rise up together, address prayers to God. When our prayers are ended, bread and wine and water are brought, and the president, to the best of his ability, offers up both prayers and thanksgivings, and the people assent, saying, Amen. Then the distribution of the bread and wine over which the thanksgivings have been offered is made to all present, and all partake of it. So this is his description of what happened on Sunday when the early Christians came together. They would read probably what the apostles had written. They would then discuss what the apostles had written. Then they would offer prayers to God. Then they would participate in what I see described as the Lord's Supper. That's an indication that the regularity of their practice had something to do with observing this on Sunday. So not only do we have some idea about how often they did it, but we have some idea about the day when they did it. We don't have any information in either Acts 2 or in anything that Jesus said when he instituted the supper, whether it's recorded by the gospel writers or it's recorded by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. We don't know anything about the day yet. And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut this a little short. And we'll come back next week and we'll continue our discussion. And next week, we'll look at the 20th chapter of Acts. And I think if you look carefully at what happened in Acts 20, you'll see two different activities that may have been described as breaking bread. So I'm sorry we're going to have to cut this a little bit short tonight.